Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, finally doing our Survivor David versus Goliath finale recap. It was a wild, wild week for Alexa and I. We got to go to the pre-finale party, we got to go to the finale, and we got to go to the finale after party. So it was really hard for us to find the time to find the podcast, especially since Alexa then left LA early Friday or Thursday morning. I have no idea how she's alive.
I don't know what year we're in. I don't know what day we're in. Phil took a red eye right after that. So if you haven't heard from us in 36 hours, it's because we've been sleeping. And I think I have strep throat. Like, we just absolutely collapsed after this week. So thank you guys for your patience. You guys saw we posted a few pictures here and there, but Phil said, like Phil said, it was a crazy week. It was so much fun. It was really surreal, not only meeting so many current and past survivors, but and Phil's experienced this so much more than I have. But it's kind of crazy, like, when you're somewhere and Davey or Allison comes up to you and they're like, "Hey, like, it's so cool to meet you." And I'm like, "Are you serious? Like, I am no one. I am literally nothing." So that was super cool. But yeah, we had a great time being at the finale. Phil and I, I was crying. It was insane. It was so much. It was an amazing experience that, like, we don't know if we'll ever get to do again, but we had an absolute blast. But it was really fantastic.
Yeah. And I'll give my shout out now to Jamie Gordon West, who's the one who hooked us up with the tickets. She's an absolute hero. She's a really good friend of mine. And what ended up happening is she works on those sets. So everything that you saw there, all the artwork and everything for that final tribal council at the finale, Jamie worked on all of that. Actually, where we were sitting, she told us she painted the wall behind us. So she's absolutely amazing. She's incredibly talented. And she hooked us up with those tickets. That's the girl wearing the red. If you actually find us on TV.
Why didn't we wear louder colors? I didn't think about that until I saw her.
I don't know, but she knows her stuff. Jamie knows what she's doing. And it was just amazing. I mean, yeah, like Alexa said, you're sitting there at this finale and it's a surreal experience. And to me, I haven't rewatched this finale. This was probably a very okay finale. There was no huge moment. There wasn't anything crazy. It was kind of predictable. You figured that this was going to be your final six. I think Alexa and I, the only thing we had different was we swapped Allison and Kara. Alexa got it 100% right. I was off by one. But when you're there, there's just no way to explain that atmosphere unless you're there. Mm-hmm. And we actually, one of our fans, Ben Feller, was sitting almost directly next to us.
Two seats over, which is insane.
And we didn't really talk to him after, but I'm sure that he could put a comment in here about what it's like in there, because you really can't grasp it until you're there and until you've seen it. And you know, I mean, Nick wins immunity and everyone in there is going nuts. You see Nick's dad down there screaming at the top of his lungs. It's just such an amazing experience. It's so much fun. And yeah, Jamie gave us that experience. And I just cannot thank her enough for that.
We owe her the world. But yeah, I mean, to Phil's point, it's to anyone who's been to, I'm about to plug another podcast. I'm sorry. To the RHAP Live Know-It-Alls. I've been to a couple of those. It's just so cool watching the show with a gigantic group of people, because everyone's cheering after the immunity challenge. And then when Davey went home, you heard everyone audibly sigh. And like Phil just said, Nick's family was just losing their minds every time something good happened to Nick. And a lot of really good things happened to Nick this episode, obviously. Yeah. So it was an insane experience. It was really cool seeing Jeff dressed like a substitute teacher. He really changed that up a little bit. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So we got to dive into the episode, because we never told you what we actually thought of it. But from my opinion, I believe the right person won. But there's so many moments for an episode that it's hard to follow up the Ghost Island finale, because Ghost Island finale is insane. That you know, having the tie to end it is absolutely incredible. And then for 35, the way that Ben goes on the run, whether you like it or hate it, that finale had so much happen that this one didn't have all that, but you still had great moments. Angelina climbing her 100-foot ladder to get to the top of that waterfall. You had Mike with his wine glass, which was absolutely hilarious. Angelina's reaction to Allison finding the hidden immunity idol might be one of my favorite things of all time, because it was audible in the audience, the groans of, "Oh my God, she's doing this again." And I feel for Angelina's parents, because I met them and they're very nice. And
they're
she's very nice. But they were all very aware, Angelina's going to get no votes, which is a shame. But it's hilarious, watching it in there and hearing the groans of, what is she thinking? It's amazing.
Yeah, there was Angelina's reaction to Allison finding the fake idol, and then Mike's reaction to Angelina's reaction. She was like, Mike, look, she found it. And he's just like, I'm not playing this game. I can't do this. And Mike and Nick, and I was talking to my mom earlier today about our thoughts on the new Final Tribal format, the discussion rather than the one-on-one questions. And oddly enough, the discussion almost allows for less trashing of a player. Like, we were saying Angelina's just going to get destroyed. She's got a lot of eye rolls, which obviously like had been happening the whole season. But except for when Angelina said, Allison, I wasn't trying to embarrass you. Nick was like, dude, like that was the whole purpose of why you were doing that. So I think Allison handled that as well as she could. Obviously she knew it was fake. And obviously she's got to try, but just doing the whole, you know, I have a stick with a letter, so going to pass it on to you, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. And she's smart to play it, but to also announce, like, I'm pretty sure this is fake, so that Angelina doesn't get any credit. And I loved Angelina pretty much being like, we need to do a 2-2-1 vote so that I get this credit. And everybody just being like, why would we do this for you? Like, why would we ever give you ammo going against the jury? That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because my first thought was, I mean, obviously, like, a fake idol, it implicitly does embarrass the person who plays it. Mm-hmm. But it felt so personal why she was doing it. And I really wish we saw more of the Allison and Angelina clash. We saw eye rolls and like, obviously Allison was like calling her out every tribal, but there was clearly a lot of bad blood there. But for her, to my whole problem was like, you are just doing this to embarrass her. And I didn't even think about the fact that Nick and Mike were like, why give you more points? Like, you're coming to the end with us. So that was tough. That's an intention that would have really worked out, I think, if she kept it to herself.
Yeah, that's the only way it could have worked out. But to sit there and tell everybody why you're doing it and how it's going to benefit you, because you need something for outplay. Why is anybody going to help you to win the game? That doesn't make any sense. That's not why you're there. You're not there to help somebody actually win the game. So, look, that moment was so ridiculous. Her wanting to make that idol, everybody just calling her out, being like, why does she want to do this? Like, why is she feeling like this? And look, Angelina and Mike really did make that finale hilarious, because the two of them trying to just doing what they were doing. I mean, Mike being drunk and stumbling around and finding the idol clue and saying, you idiots. And
that was
absolutely amazing. And then Angelina, with everything she was trying to do in this last ditch effort to get the win. I mean, the right person won. Nick won. I kind of figured Davey didn't really have much of a shot just because he was so likable, and it felt like he was going to get sixth place. As soon as he didn't win immunity, he had to go home, which it was the right move for them to all vote him out at six and not Allison. And of course, Nick was going to try to keep it going because he doesn't want to be the last David. But, you know, for all of that, for like what is a satisfying conclusion to the season, really, Angelina and Mike, I feel like, were the all-stars of this finale.
Yeah, they were really fantastic. And you bring up a good point with Davey. I had read this in one of the exit interviews yesterday or today. I don't know what day or year we're currently in. So Davey, he gets voted out, and he turns around. He says, whoever orchestrated this, you have my vote unless someone does a better job. He did that knowing that it wasn't Nick's move. And he did that to like put the fear of God in Nick and have Nick kind of just go into it. So that's some great wingmanning by Davey. I mean, that was really awesome, because I interpreted that originally as his vote super up in the air. And I think it was Elizabeth who said that at Final Tribal, that a lot of people were still undecided. But I thought that was a really cool thing that Davey did.
Yeah. And I was really surprised that Mike got three votes even in this situation, where
we were watching this and we were like, oh my God, he's going to pull it out.
Yeah. He got that string. And then of course, once Nick got the second vote, I was pretty confident that Nick was going to pull it out 7-3. But there was like the fear of God there, where Mike's going to pull this out and beat Nick handedly. And, you know, especially since you saw Christian vote for Mike. And then, you know, we ended up seeing Gabby voted for Nick. And she, you know, she did her Kentucky Nick thing, which she talked about on Instagram. But it's very interesting that once you see Christian do it, it's wait a second. Is this how the entire jury is going to feel? Because we've seen so much of this game go through Christian and talk about people loving Christian. Is that how this is going to go? And what was it? It was Christian, Allison, and who was the other?
Kara.
And Kara. Yeah. And I think Allison and Kara, I'm not really surprised that they ended up voting for Mike. They just seemed like, you know, they played with him a little bit longer.
So. Yeah. And Allison and Mike had a much closer bond than we ever saw. I was watching Allison's Ponderosa last night, and she was saying, and this was briefly touched upon at the final tribal, but she was saying she was like so stung by how Mike reacted at final tribal. And it sounds like this to her comments, and it sounds like this was going on the whole time at the beach. I think as soon as his name got thrown out by her, she was just stonewalled by him. But I think he was smart and probably genuine to say, you know, that was wrong. So she gets that vote there. And Kara in her Ponderosa, she was like, you know what? I lost. The fate was in my hands and I did it. So she had a very zen approach to it. So it makes sense that she votes for the one person who truly beat her. So yeah. Those votes make sense. But I think I had said this, I can't remember where you were on it, but I thought that whoever Christian voted for, everyone is going to roll with. So I guess that is the beauty of this discussion, because it's more thought provoking, I guess.
Yeah, it shows, hey, like maybe Christian wasn't controlling everybody. And not that I ever thought that Christian was, but you know, we talked to Gabby a lot at the events, and what did she say? She's like, she knew Christian had a girlfriend from day one. Like, come on. And so, you know, this edit was very favorable to Christian, but people were, you know, people can think for themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
people are adults here.
But yeah, so this was Nick winning. You know, Mike played a very good game, and I think he played probably a more underrated game. But I think that Nick winning just makes the most sense. I mean, this guy goes on that 3-challenge immunity run at the end. I don't even think he needed the 3-immunity run. I don't think he needed the 3-immunity challenges. And that's something that is definitely going to be up for debate. But at Final Five, I don't think he needed it. I think Mike thought that he could beat Nick, and they would have been willing to get rid of Allison at Final Five anyway. I don't really think he needed it. And at Final Four, you obviously don't need it because you just have to go and make fire, and I'm sure Nick could have made fire. So this 3-immunity challenge run, I don't think that this does anything to hurt Nick's legacy as a whole, because I just think he played a really solid game throughout, made stuff happen. He didn't, this isn't a Mike Holloway, I needed every one of these immunities, or Fabio, I needed every one of these immunities. This was a solid gameplay that he just made sure he was in control at the end.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I've already read people. I mean, I will never do a winner's ranking, but people are saying he's like middle to upper, but people are annoyed, quote unquote, that he needed an immunity run to win. But I'm completely with you. I don't think he needed that at all. People have been wanting to get rid of Allison since the final 10. So obviously they were going to get rid of her. She had no more friends left. And when Nick kind of melted down at Mike, Mike's like still wanted to work with Nick. Nick was the one who was like, I'm done with him. I'm past this. So I don't think Mike was ever going to get rid of Nick. Mike clearly wanted to take Nick to the end because he clearly put up a fight against him. So I think those immunity runs, those just made him look even better, because call me old school, but I would like to vote for someone who wins immunity a bunch of times. Like I think that's still a very important part of the game. So I think that was just a cherry on top rather than necessary.
Well, and you know, it's funny that you bring up the after the Nick meltdown. This is something that we didn't really talk about, but who were the ones that were annoyed by Nick's meltdown? It was Allison and Kara, who didn't vote for Nick anyway.
Right.
So he's screaming, she's going to win if she gets to the end. And, you know, this
was really funny.
It's really funny. And it's also, you know, he's losing his mind. He wishes that everything was going his way a little bit better than that. Mm-hmm. And of course it's not. And so what does he do? He tries to get it going, and he's yelling and he's screaming, and he really feels like, hey, look, if you're the last David left and it's 4-1 and you think that Mike and Angelina are your closest allies and they've lied to you now a couple times, you're nervous and you're going to react like that. And, you know, clearly he was in good enough standing that wasn't going to come back to bite him in the butt. But it's just, you know, Nick didn't need this immunity run in order to win this season of Survivor.
I would have liked to know who Kara and Allison's ideal final threes were, or both throughout the entire game and at that point. I guess it has to have been Mike and Angelina, because it's just so crazy to me that none of those four people were – wanted to get rid of the final David, because it's not even like what Nick's story was on the Davids, like with the whole Pat thing. It's the fact that it's one David versus four Goliaths. And Nick was saying that in one of his pitches. He's like, Dan, you're 6'3". Of course you're Goliath. John, you could break this rock. Of course you're Goliath. Like, he already is at such an advantage because of his quote unquote disadvantage.
Yeah. And his final jury speech was incredible. I mean, that
he was great. Yeah.
That was an amazing speech. And you know what though, this is the danger and this is the underestimation of a Southern type lawyer. You mm-hmm. don't expect him to be able to make that type of speech. Yeah. But he's a lawyer. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to get people on his side. Yeah. That's what he does.
And so he didn't, people didn't know that he was a lawyer. I just found that out.
Really?
Yeah. Elizabeth apparently said, well, good thing you didn't tell anyone because I wouldn't have voted for you.
Wow. That's interesting.
So, I mean, that shows how good he was. Like you were just saying.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think, why is that coming up? Anyway, yeah, I think that Nick's final tribal was absolutely incredible. I thought Mike had a really good last episode and, you know, they're still having a hard time figuring how to edit this fourth place finisher, because now this is the third season in a row that we've seen the fire making challenge. Devin's edit was very weird.
Devin's was probably the most positive out of any of them, I would say.
The most positive, but biggest? It was only the second half. If you watch the first half, he's really not that much a part of the season. Then last year with Angela, they didn't really know what to do. And this year with Kara, she was always there. She was always sort of relevant, but we didn't ever really get to know Kara. And I would love to, you know, I talk to Kara a lot at these.
Yeah, Kara's the nicest person on the planet. Yeah,
Kara's incredible. It's insane. No, she's not the nicest. We have to talk all about Carl's wife and Carl,
Gina,
and Abby's mom.
Got you.
And Alex's mom. But Kara's up there too. But no, Kara is so nice. And I feel like she was one of those people, you know, Carl had said, was it Carl who said, nobody will ever follow Gabby into battle here. Mike said it. So it's Kara was actually that person who was having a hard time finding people who would follow her into battle. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if Nick goes to final three with Kara and with Angelina, I think that he might win by even more. I don't think it's closer, but I don't know who Kara, like, I want to know more about Kara. And, you know, of course, like, you know, you talk to these people for like a brief amount of time. You're not going to get every single thing that they wanted to know, but maybe one day we can get Kara on here and she'll tell us. But she's, I feel like she had a game plan, but even when she was saying to Nick at the end, take me, because I kind of just was here. And I think that it's very Eric Reichenbach, like, cause he admitted that too. He said, I didn't really know what the hell I was doing the second time out there. Mm. And the first time out there, I didn't either. And I think that is kind of what Kara was going through, was the, who can I really trust? Who should I be working with? Can I actually get any traction in this game? And I think she had a hard time getting footing and getting followers to move forward.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Nick, this was implied and Nick didn't really say it, but I think, and Kara admitted this too, her game was the social game. Everybody likes her. Phil and I barely know her and we like fell in love with her this week. So she is someone who is just so incredibly likable. And even if she hasn't played a strategic loud game, that's not someone Nick's going to want to sit next to. So I think he made the completely right choice in making her versus Mike fight for fire. But I agree with you. Angela was what she is. I don't know Angela, but it sounds like she didn't give much content. But Kara is someone who I think could have had a lot of content. And I guess more similarly to Devin, but Devin did a lot in that merge. Mm-hmm. It was just so, as soon as Allison went home, as soon as Nick won that immunity that eventually sent Allison home, I was like, this is Nick's game, because we just know so little about Kara that I know she either blanks at the final tribal or she loses this fire.
Yeah, and it felt like she was going to lose the fire too, based on how they were playing up. Oh, Kara's so confident. Mike's just sitting there like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah, she's making these perfect eyes. Yeah,
Mike White's a lot smarter of a guy than this show played him up to be. You know, Mike mm-hmm. White knows what he's doing. And him sitting there on the hammock watching Kara make fire, he was watching her make fire. He was learning, like, you know, maybe this is what I need to do. And I'm sure that he went and practiced, but you want to have the a little more drama, especially since Mike's going to go on to get some votes at the end and be the eventual runner up. You want to have as much drama as you possibly can there.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. And this kind of goes into a whole separate topic, but the people who quit, they under edit. People who get medically evacuated, they under edit, because they don't, I assume they don't want you to fall in love with someone who's not going to win. But to me, it would have been so much more heartbreaking and therefore enjoyable, which I know sounds kind of sadistic, to watch like the Christian vote out. Mm-hmm. But Christian just like left so quickly and so silently almost. Like, I would have loved for, I mean, I wouldn't have liked this, but if Davey lost in the fire making challenge, that would have had so much more like emotion to it. Because as soon as that happened, I was like, okay, Nick wins and like, and Karen loses.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But there's only so much you can do, you know.
Yeah,
you can't,
exactly.
You can't move the entire show around, you know, because this is what happened. This is how it went down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when I look at this season, to me, the finale doesn't move this season up any. You know what I mean? Like, no. if you're looking at, like, if you're going to do an overall ranking, where does this fit? And there were points where this season was on fire during, you know, the John boot, the Dan boot, the Carl boot, the Alec boot. Like, this season was on fire. And, you know, after Gabby went home, it did kind of slow down a little bit, because once Gabby went home, the line was drawn and you knew kind of what was going to happen after that. And, you know, so one of my friends said to me, you know, Gabby tried to make her move, and then once she did that, everybody closest to her went home. And it's really not even that one. It was when they got rid of Carl that this entire – the Davids fell apart. They needed to stick together, and they were all wearing those Eric Reichenbacher shirts, which were amazing. But it's funny that Gabby will get so much blame because Gabby cried, you know. But it was really when they went after Carl that this entire game changed, and – you know, that's when you saw the Davids really lose any grip they had on the game.
Yeah, and I don't remember if we talked about this, but at least from Christian's perspective, he was like, I kind of knew the risk I was taking, but Christian was relatively aware of the fact that he was a threat, either relatively or extremely aware, but he at least knew he was a threat, obviously. And so his point was, I can't just pagong the other tribe, because I know as soon as it's just the Davids, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So he needed some chaos in there. So obviously it didn't work out very well for him and Gabby, but you have to try.
But they're still friends.
Yeah, that was so great. She's like, we're friends. It's fine. We're still friends.
It made it through. I liked the bounce around at the finale of the reunion, where it was, you know, Christian, you know, he's one of a kind. And then Gabby, are you guys still friends?
Yeah. It's like, wow, that's your content, Gabby.
Of course. Hey, but you know what? Gabby had to get her screen time. And for everybody giving her a hard time for the crying thing, you know, by that point, the cast is already up on the stage. And like, Gabby was laughing so hard at, like,
she loved
it. Of course, here I go, I'm crying again. Like, and so
before she voted, that was hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was up on the stage, like, laughing at it. Cause at that, like, and the audience is laughing at it. Like, everybody who's hating on that, it's like, grow up, give it a break. Like, just like, she's doing her thing. Like, yeah, she's emotional, but like, there's emotional people out there.
To not, I mean, like, would you rather she just be boring?
Exactly.
A lot of people complain about how Chelsea didn't get an edit because she was boring. Like, yeah. You got to go under another.
And the thing is, the whole point of this is, like, she was laughing at it. Like, she knows how she's coming across. Like, Gabby, you know, we talked to Gabby and her mom. I mean, poor Encarnita, Gabby's mom, like, probably couldn't wait for me to leave, because I just talked to her for like hours both days. That poor woman. But, you know, you talk to both of them and it's like, yeah, she cried on the show, but like, so what? Like, so what? Like, it's just really cool people. And, you know, it's one of those where I will say, after going to 35 and 36, and I like a lot of people from both of those, I feel like this was the cast as a whole that was the most talkative once you actually got to meet them, and they were the ones who were like most receptive to us, especially. I mean, maybe it was because you were there, or maybe it was just because the dream team was there. And now I've gone to a couple, so I don't feel as bad going and making an ass out of myself, which is what I do. But
we sure did.
We sure do. But you know, like, this cast was very, very talkative. All, like, there was not one of them where I was like, God, why are they still talking to me? Like, Carl is like the coolest dude of all time. And I kept calling Carl a villain, and his wife gave me so much crap for that. She was like, she was saying that to Gabby's mom. She's like, he's so obsessed with Gabby, he just throws my husband to the side. Carl is the man. Carl is like Carl's the coolest amazing. Guy. And his wife is hilarious. So
I know it's funny when people said that. I think it was, I think I'm a little fuzzy, where Natalia came up to me and she was like, you were so nice to me on the podcast. And I was like, you're welcome. Like, I definitely did that. And I think when Gina was calling Phil out for calling Carl a villain, she was like, Alexa loves Carl. And I was like, I think
did
I
did. She?
Like, I don't know. I don't like, know.
He was on my fantasy team.
I know. Yeah, you said that. I was like, I didn't pick Carl. I was like, I don't know. Sure. So I'm glad that I'm glad that the things that we don't remember saying on this podcast are well received by other people.
Well, yeah, it sticks with some people, right?
Exactly. Because it's their family. I know it would be the exact same. But just to go back to the Gabby comment, because I really want to hammer this home. When Jeff and Natalie were having that conversation about Natalie's portrayal on the show, Jeff goes, can anybody raise their hand if they also thought they were inaccurately portrayed? And let it be known that Angelina raised her hand and Jeff did not call on her.
Yeah.
But Gabby is just like cracking up, like shaking her head, like, you got me so right. Like, you got all of Gabby. So I thought that exchange between Natalie and Jeff was pretty cool. And as a finale, as a reunion, I would say this was a really good one. I mean, obviously they don't talk to First Booth, but they talk to Pat because, like, you got to make sure that everyone knows that it's very safe out there. And obviously to make sure that Pat was doing well. But I thought they did a really great job this reunion. They talked, I don't know if they talked to more people than usual, but there wasn't a Kevin Hart and there wasn't a previous contestant. So to me, that was cool. And talking about the weight loss was fun. I mean, that's such an old school thing that people like lose their mind over. I love the weight loss stuff. So I thought that was a cool little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And hearing that Big Tom lost almost 80 pounds, that's insane.
Like, that is nuts.
I remember him being thinner. And I know that, and here's the thing too. Davey came into the game, like, he didn't come into the game toned. Like, he wasn't coming in the game. Like, you know, you look at somebody like John who loses 20-something pounds. Like, John doesn't have 20 pounds to lose.
Yeah.
Davey, and not being like Davey's fat, but Davey had more weight to lose. When you hear Kara lost like 26 pounds or something.
That was 20% of her body weight.
Allison, like, are you kidding me? Allison and Kara had no weight to lose. And I will say Davey kept it off because Davey is looking fine. Yeah, Davey is looking fine. And I know he had his tweet of, I think I have a crush on Alexis.
Oh my God. Alexa, everyone look at that tweet. So I didn't realize he tweeted that Tuesday night and I was unwell on Tuesday, and he brought that up to me on Wednesday, and I was like, Phil, what is he talking about? And Phil was like, nothing, go check your Twitter. Yeah. And we both retweeted it. It was literally the best tweet of my life. I'm framing it over my bed. I love you, Davey.
Yeah, exactly. Davey's the man. Davey's a really nice guy. And that's, you know, that's the one thing. And I know now I'm just rambling and I keep on going back to this, but you know, these are just real people. Like, I talked to Alec at these things. Alec's the
he's
man.
So cool.
He hates what happened. Like, he really does, because he is a huge fan of the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pitch his take, but, like, we talked about that. And, like, he's just such a nice guy, and his mom is, like, such a sweetheart. And, you know, we met his sister, and it's, like, these are, like, great. Like, they're just – it's real people. And, like
– they're real people.
I have such a hard time remembering that. And, you know, you go on, like – you see all these trolls and stuff, and – it's like, why? You know, like, what are you gaining from this? And, you know, I hope that a lot of these survivors can just get to the point where it's like, you know, anybody who's trolling me, like, they're watching me on TV. Like, I'm the shit. Like, I'm one of, what, 500 people to play the greatest game ever invented. And, like, I'm sitting there at the finale, and I'm like, holy crap, I just achieved a childhood dream. If I was playing the show, I would be a bundle of tears the entire time, too. Like, holy crap, I'm actually sitting here playing it, and then I'm hungry, and I'm starving, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm living a dream. I'd probably be crying my eyes out, too, and everybody would hate me, but I don't know. I don't even know. I just go on these rants.
I think we were talking about this Thursday morning, like right before I left. And I guess, like, it's this, this is going to come off as so elitist, but like until you meet someone, and it could be Survivor, any form of reality division, probably any like celebrities as well, to an extent, you like people on Survivor are such normal people. And I think that's what the appeal is. Like, you're watching these old school seasons, or especially this season, because this had a really wide range of, professions.
Yeah,
like my cousin is a doctor and like really related to Allison, and like everyone loves the bartender, and Carl's a truck driver. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I've never met a truck driver before. How cool is that? And so I think that just makes them so normal, and like they are also like flabbergasted by their fame, and they are also like occasionally socially awkward, and they also are like all of the above. Like, they are such normal people. And for anyone who has bad things to say about anyone, and I am loudly including Angelina on this comment, try saying that to her face. Because I only briefly spoke to Angelina. She was wonderful. She was very nice. They're like, try saying that, or any rude thing you see on the internet about anyone, try actually saying that to their face, because it's a wall that you're hiding behind. And these are some really great people. And we were so lucky. And I think Jeff really expressed this well, expressed this as well. This cast was just unbeatable. I don't know what they did this time around, but this is going to be a tough cast to beat.
Yeah, whoever was in casting at the time, other than Lynn, better still be there now that Lynn is gone, because we need, like, whoever that was did such a great job. You know, I'm looking forward to 38. I mean, look, I know that that is something that nobody's going to ever want to hear, but the worst part about 38, and I was talking to somebody about this, the worst part for 38 is that if that twist doesn't work, it's going to be so amplified because of the season that it's following up. Mm-hmm. Because we are following up, and you know, at one point I might have been saying this is maybe the best season. I probably would have it around 7 or 8 right now. It's around the Ko-Rong range, in my opinion, because it was very good. It had great moments, and then it was, you know, it got to a point where it kind of leveled off. But when you look at this, and I swear there was going to be a point in there. But the worst part for 38 is that it's going to be so different from everything we've heard. If that doesn't work, everybody's going to realize so much more because it's following this. Because absolutely, this season is so good that anything that goes wrong in 38, it's going to be like, why did they change it? What happened? What's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think, I guess for 38, and my mom was watching the preview and she's like, I don't get it. This seems dumb. And I was like, welcome to everyone's thoughts here.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got to try to go into it with an open mind because this season was not hyped up at all. We were kind of freaking out preseason because there was no content to go off of. There were no videos. It was just like some pictures and occasional interviews. So we were nervous for this season. That obviously couldn't have been more wrong. I think a lot of people were saying this is like you just said, top 10, top 5 season. And I would completely agree with that. Well, I guess the hope with that is that their cast is good, because a cast does make for a really, really good season. I don't think Redemption Island had a particularly great cast, so maybe it would have been better if it was a different cast. I'm not entirely sure. We'll never know. But one thing I did read, and I don't know how true this is because I read it on the internet, but apparently this Extinction Island doesn't come into play until the merge. Might make it worse. TBD. I could be super wrong there, but to me that already sounds a little better.
Well, that's way better than having it come in, you know, super early.
Right.
You know, if you have it come in too early, then yeah, it's too much.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll spend a lot of time talking about that in the next few months, but I thought the preview was pretty cool. I mean, the two people that they put out, that Wendy and Rick, they seemed wonderfully energized. Like, they were a ton of fun. And I liked that they didn't explain the full twist yet. They kind of just made it a little mysterious. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. But I know I don't want to let go of David versus Goliath yet. I really don't.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it makes it tough. It's always hard to get rid of any season of Survivor because it feels like it's such a restart. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you go from, and this is another thing too, that you hope that some of these people who have gotten relentlessly hated on, like Angelina and like Gabby, realize is like, you don't want to fall out of the limelight, but you're going to fall out now. And like, all these people who are trolling you are going to move on to the next victim, which is so awful. But at the mm-hmm. same time, like, it's this temporary complete shift when it comes to the show of Survivor. It's you're watching this cast, you're watching Nick have the moment of his life. You're watching, you know, Mike White be mean to Allison at this one tribal where he's, you know, rolling his eyes and yelling at her, and that probably went on much longer than we're being shown. And you have Angelina, who is one of the more memorable villains in a very long time, and all of these moments. But as soon as that curtain comes down and Jeff says, moving on to Survivor, Edge of Extinction, what, 3 or 4 of those people might play again, but we might never hear from 16 of those people again. And it's just, it's so crazy. And you know, I don't know. It's wild how that goes. I mean, how much hate did Bradley get and all the small mouth Bradley stuff? And that's gone now. You know,
I know. And those memes were awesome.
All gone. You know, all that stuff is just gone now. So it's kind of crazy how all that happens.
Yeah. I'm never one to talk about the end of Survivor because I really don't think it's ending anytime soon. I know we're on until 40, and the way that the ratings are going, there's absolutely no reason to cancel it. But we're at the point, I remember after HHH, we said this, we probably didn't say this so much about Ghost Island, but it still holds. And I will say this about David versus Goliath. There are so many people that could come back and likely won't, but there are just so many people that fans want to see again. And I'm really curious overall as like how fans feel about returning seasons versus partial returning seasons versus new seasons. Because I know my family, they won't watch returning season. They absolutely hate them. They say, give people a new chance. And to an extent, I agree with that. But there are so many people that I want to see play again. And I know there's so many people like chomping at the bit to play again. So it's interesting to see who they'll call back. And to your point, like, I really liked Ashley and I really liked Joe and let me try to think about like Chrissy and Ryan and Ben, but even now, like I couldn't think of their names like 2 seconds ago. So that's going to be tough come 5 seasons from now when they make a legend seasons or whatever.
Well, and the one thing that I think that 35, 36, 37 have going for them right now is that so many other characters are so overused. Like if you look at Aubrey is now about to play for her third time.
I know. And
look,
saturated.
Yeah. And so is Kelly Wentworth. And so is Joe Anglum. And David Wright's about to play a second time. And look, I like all four of them. I really do. I mean, Joe, you know, I would like to see Joe act. I want to see what he can do. I want to see him play this game. And like, I want to see if he can learn to not be the biggest challenge threat. And if the game has changed enough, if his social game has gotten better, I want to see all of that. But what works for somebody like, you know, not even Christian, but Christian would be asked back anyway. But when you start looking at this casting, you start going down into people who are, you know, a little bit lesser known, maybe like a Dan who goes out in a crazy way like he did, or Carl, or, you know, Angelina, who's going to be an obvious villain. But then you have smaller and you know, when I say smaller, it's like, how could this be smaller? But like Gabby was still, I feel, a smaller character than Angelina. But because Wentworth and Aubrey have been overused, now they're not going to bring Aubrey back, I feel like, for a fourth time in season 40. Now we've seen her play 4 times in 8 seasons. Mm-hmm. But who fills perfectly into that role? Gabby does. I mean, I'm assuming Gabby would play again, but I don't know because of the internet hatred for literally no reason. But you know, when you start to look at these people who are there from 35, 36, 37, Game Changers came right before that. A lot of people were used like immediately. And and if you're going to look at the winners from 35, 36, 37, they probably bring all three of those guys back. So if they're looking to bring winners back, those are people that they would bring back. And, you know, because, you know, there's only so much you can pull from. And when Tony is, you know, one of the most memorable winners of all time, and he's already played a second time and went out super early. Well, now you can you've kind of run through that bunch. Now let's talk about these new school, like really new school players that you haven't run through at all yet.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that's exactly what we were saying about Sierra in the preseason for Game Changers. We're like, this is her third time? It felt like her fifth
Sierra
time.
Sierra Easton, yeah.
Sierra Easton. Yeah, that was her third time in so few seasons. And I liked Sierra, but as soon as I saw she and many people were called back, I was like, this is a waste. Like, this is such a waste of Ceri's fourth time playing. Like, she and Ozzy should have been playing on a Legend season. That was not where they should have been. And it feels very wasteful that was Tony's second time, too. So, as a gigantic Kelly Wentworth fan, I find it to be very wasted. And I'm someone who's very against partial returning seasons, which is why I'm going into this with a very negative attitude. But hopefully I turn it around because I want to like it and I don't like judging things before I know anything about them.
Well, yeah. And you know, 37 is a perfect example of that. People were crapping on 37 before it even started. And look how good 37 turned out. I mean, if you really think about it, and this is what I think sets this season apart is there's nobody who was really like, there's nobody who doesn't get along with the cast. There's nobody who is really unlikable. Mm-hmm. Like, Angelina was your villain, but she was like the Snidely Whiplash villain. She was, you know, she was Guy Pearson in Lawless, where he's just twirling his mustache the entire time. Like, that's what Angelina was. It was so over the top, it was almost cartoony. And I'll take that any day over, you know, Scott Pollard, who is, it's not cartoony. It's a lot more vicious. And Angelina tried to be vicious, but, you know, the fangs came out at final 13, so who cares? At that point, like, Allison was going to be hurt by Angelina doing that. By that point, it didn't matter to her. So I do think that because this cast is so likable too, and because, you know, 36 was a very likable group, 35 is, you know, 35 has more villains. Like, Joe Mena is definitely polarizing. Mm-hmm. But you start to root for these people to come back. And we live in this day and age of how many people are going to play Survivor again? How many people from each season are going to play again? How many people are going to do this? And when you start to really narrow it down, it's like, they're all like really good people. And now that they're starting to cast so many fans, God, I want to see everybody have their dream come true. You know, like I want to see all of the people who want to play again get to play again. But you know it can't happen. And you know that there's going to be people like Aubrey who play three times and production will look to every single time. And you know that there's going to be people like, you know, like, I don't know, Bradley, Brendan, who and James, who might never get another chance because they just went too early, mm-hmm. even though they could win the game of Survivor. And, like, you know, you just sit here and you're like, hopefully it works out for some of these people.
I know. It's so – it must be so tough. Like you just said, anyone pre-merge, like, it's almost – as a fan, they're certainly not forgotten, but from a production standpoint, like, they're going to look to Aubrey again, or they're going to look to Christian four times before they look to anybody else. And it's not, that is absolutely not a knock on any of these pre-jury people or Christian or Aubrey. I think for whatever reason, it's just easier, or that's the path that they choose. So that's really tough. So when you're out there, I guess you got to make it last.
Yeah. And I will say too, like, now that we've had Christian and Gabby play, I do think that the like Aubrey Cochran, like now we have a new version of that, you know, and I will say I got to meet Cochran for the first time ever. He is what a like good guy Cochran is.
He's wonderful.
And I was like, not that I'm surprised, like at by any means, but like the first thing I said to him is, hey, we're the podcast that's not too kind to you. And he was like, all right, let's
are
hear
we?
It. Like, well, I mean, I always, me and Will used to like rip on the Karamoan game, but that's what I said to him. I was like, Karamoan was awful. And he's like, I know, I hate it. Like, what am I going to do? But like,
not his fault.
Yeah. And you know, like Jeff always says Cochran's like the greatest winner of all time. And I'm like, he's mid tier, you know, he's in there, but
he agreed with that.
Yeah. But like, you know, what's his thing? Like you talk to him and it's like Christian and him like are so similar. They really are. And you know, I think, you know, Christian's the robotic engineer and Cochran's your writer. So obviously they're coming from two different areas here, but they're very similar. You know, they have that. And now I think you have your new Cochran. And not that I think Cochran would have played again anyway, since he writes for CBS shows, but you have your new Cochran. I think Gabby really is, you know, Hannah Shapiro was like the Aubrey that like, she just fell like a little short of that. She didn't hit that level, but like Gabby is the one who falls in between those two. So that's it. That's what I got.
Yeah, I could see that. But I don't know. I don't know if this is editing, but I think we're at a point where people do go so far beyond what they're cast as. And I know this is what Joe said in the – I keep calling it Island of Extinction. It's Edge of Extinction.
Is it Island of Extinction? I think it's Edge of Extinction because it's like Transformers.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. That's what everybody kept saying. It sounds like a Transformers movie.
It really does. Wasn't there a Tom Cruise movie?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So here we are. I forget what I'm talking about. Oh, but Joe was like, people of my archetype typically don't do well. But I think like Alec is a great example of someone who we heavily judged pregame, but he was, I mean, yeah, he's got the surfer bro thing going on, but he was strategic and he was flipping things upside down. He was great. And I think even prior to all this TMZ crap, I think no one ever would have guessed that about him. So I think it's so easy to judge someone based on the stereotype that we are choosing to watch. But Christian was so much more than the nerdy guy. Gabby was so much more than the nerdy girl with glasses. Mm-hmm. And also, like, is glasses the only reason that someone is nerdy now? I guess that has to be like, it. Yeah. Gigantic nerd Phil over here.
Yeah.
So I like that people are really expanding past that. I think that's made a lot more enjoyable.
And a lot of it is like, you know, how's the show going to portray you? They want Gabby to be the nerdy girl. I mean, you know, like they want Christian. He's wearing his bow tie at the final tribe at the reunion. Like, you know, this is what they want you to be. But at the same time, once you're on the show, your true nature is going to start to come out and, you know, you're not just going to be the nerd or you're not like, you're going to have more layers to you just naturally. And because people are layered, you know? I think that, you know, like even Natalie Cole, I spoke to Natalie Cole for a little bit. Natalie Cole was so fun to talk to because one, she kept calling me Mr. Phil.
That's so cute.
And because like, you're expecting her to come off and be like really edge. Like there's like a hard edge to her. And there really wasn't. And it almost took me off guard because I was expecting like a little bit of an edge there and to be like, you know, scared talking to her. And I felt like very comfortable talking to her. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? But yeah, she was, you know, and that's a woman. And I said this to her, she knew what she was doing at that finale. She knew what she was doing by saying, hey, I'm not okay with my edit. She knows, like, she works in this industry of, you know, she's in publishing and stuff. She wants to stay. She knows what she's doing to, like, stay in the eye here. She knows how to get her screen time. She's no fool. So, you know, this was obviously, I do think she was very unhappy with her edit. But also, hey, you got Jeff to look at you and say, you got voted out pre-merge. You're in the back row. You were a big character. Normally we would ignore you, but let's hear from you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. And I think the only reason I know this quote is because I was literally just watching the finale, mostly looking for us, if I'm going to be completely honest with my narcissism. But Jeff was like, that really hurts my heart. And I was like, Jeff, like, that's really nice you said that. But I mean, I could have told you that was going to piss her off. Like, if I got an edit like that, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious how many people, like, give it to Jeff at the end of the season. I think, like, maybe Kellen had sent something to him. I remember she had either told us in private or in public about that. But, yeah, I mean, that's tough. And I was saying this to Phil. I was like, I love this show so much. I would love to go on this show. But it makes me so sad that one of the things that is holding me back from, like, really wanting to is, like, America's perception of a very small version of myself. Like, Angelina... I think it was you might have said something to her, and she said, like, that's the nicest thing anyone said, or the only nice thing anyone said.
Yeah, she said it was the nicest thing anyone said.
That's so awful. Like,
I'm a really nice guy. I said a really nice thing. No, I straight up told Angelina that I think if she played again, she could easily win this game. And I'm not kidding when I say that. I'm really not. Because I think Angelina learned the most about herself that maybe anybody in the history of Survivor has ever learned about themselves. And I know at the reunion, she's still raising her hand and stuff like that. But...
Personality. Like, that's who she
is. But that's something you learn as you play with a strong personality. You have a strong personality. You play with a lot of strong personalities. And then you learn how to deal with strong personalities. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to do because, you know, you're coming from Angelina's world. Angelina is probably the alpha in her world. Mm-hmm. That doesn't always translate. Everybody's an alpha if you make Survivor. That's why you're on Survivor. Nobody on Survivor is not the alpha personality in their friend group or in what they're doing. You're not going to get the quiet person who doesn't talk when they're hanging out with their friends because that's not good TV. Mm-hmm. And like even somebody like Gabby, who is this quieter, nerdier girl, that definitely, if Gabby's hanging out with her friends, I'm sure she is the loudest one out of all of them because that's how you get cast on Survivor. And I think sometimes that throws people off, like Angelina, who is like, oh, I can go out there, I could do this, this is what I do in my regular life. And then it's like, oh crap, I am now dealing with 19 alphas, and that's never easy to do.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, like, even to further that, even in real life, and I am incredibly guilty of this, and I think everybody is incredibly guilty of this, it's really hard to admit when you're wrong about something, and whether it's something small or whether it's your lifestyle, and to have the entire world tell you that your personality is wrong and your choices are wrong when in your world they're right, whether or not they are right or wrong, it's hard to have people say that to you. So I completely agree with you. I think Angelina would absolutely crush it her second time around. I think Christian would have a hard time his second time around because why would you let Christian do well? Like, I would align with Angelina if I got there, and then she'd probably wipe the floor with me. So I'm glad you said that, and that really kind of sucks to hear. To hear that was, well, I mean, obviously she had a positive reaction, but to hear actually what she said. So, I know this is good. This is a very philosophical podcast, Phil.
Right? All of a sudden, it gets weird because now it's 2 days removed from the finale. And like now, like that you've talked to people and you know, like you actually like hear their side of the story. It changes your perspective. Look, we met Philip Shepherd. Okay.
Oh my God. He's amazing.
And he's like such a nice guy. He really is.
He's a normal dude.
He's a really nice guy. And like, you know, he's walking around this party and like that. He tells me he's 61.
With a cane.
Yeah. He tells me he's 61. I look like I'm 20 years older than him, you know, and he's walking around. He's a nice guy.
He's got the most flawless skin I've ever seen.
It's insane. It's insane. Seriously, my skin is falling apart. He's 61 years old and looks like he could be like a model. But you know, I look at this and it's just, yeah, we're getting such an edit, and we say that all the time. But you know, and it's not that I'm saying people shouldn't have an opinion. Look, I didn't like Angelina on the show either. I thought she was annoying. Like, everybody knows that I openly was against Angelina this entire season. I was like, please, you know, vote her out. Like, let's get rid of her. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I'm not also like, Angelina is the worst human being I've ever heard in my, because you don't know. Like, you have no idea. And you know, Carl's a great example of that. Carl is the villain of this season. You meet Carl in real life, and he's like, oh, man, he's just drinking a beer and hanging out and talking about sports and talking about Survivor and talking about how much he loves his wife. And you're like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, what do
he's perfectly normal.
Like, what could possibly be villainous about this guy? You know, don't forget, he was the one crying when Jessica got voted out because it reminded him of his daughter. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know, I'm trying to think of what else we could touch on, but quickly, you touched on this, but I want to actually hear it. Before we formally insert David vs. Goliath into our season rankings, like right now, where would you put it?
No, I'm going to look at it right now because I have it in front of me.
I seem to have missed
it. Alexa, I'm going to put it at number 9. So I thought maybe I would have it higher. Actually, you know what? I'm going to put it at 10. So I have China, Kageyan, Amazon, Heroes, Villains, Munhills, or Shen X, Vanuatu, Micronesia, Koh Rong, Gabon, and then I will insert this season, David
that's
versus Goliath.
That's
just right now, and I'm sure that could go up or down with a rewatch. And I have not rewatched the finale, and it's very hard to hear a lot of the stuff that's going on because it is very loud in there, and you're going to miss things that Jeff says or that other castaways say because everybody's clapping.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that – I do think that this finale – I think that – and I like all of this final six. I cannot stress this enough. But I think that this final six did hurt the season more than it helped the season. So maybe what could have been top five season had Gabby, Christian, Nick, and Davey been fighting it out with Mike and Angelina at the end. That is different. That is – you know, then this all of a sudden is top five and you're like, holy crap. Because what makes Kageyan so amazing? The fact that it was Spencer, Cass, and Tony. Yeah. And you're like, who's going to win this? And is Cass really going to win Survivor? Like, was Wu going to be every one of them going into that finale could have won, and that's not how I felt here. So, and it had its big moments littered throughout. So I feel like, you know, this one had great moments. This had some amazing moments. It had maybe the top five cast ever. You know, you have to go back and watch the early seasons, but this might be a top five cast of all time. Seriously. But in terms of like just how I feel leaving it, it doesn't leave me hungry like for the next season the way that, you know, Millennials or Shen X did, or the way that Koh Rong did, or, you know, you're not sitting there like this one hurts to say goodbye to, but you're not sitting there going, oh, I need to immediately rewatch this second right now. Whereas, you know, when you get done watching, like, what, in my opinion, you get done watching Kageyan, it's like, turn on Kageyan again. Like, let's do this again. Although I will say, I think this cast is better than the Kageyan cast because I think that there was more depth to this cast. I think this is the deepest cast probably in Survivor history. I think they went 20 for 20.
They really did.
And I really believe they went for 20 for 20. And that includes, you know, some underedited people like Kara, like Allison. I mean, look, Carl had one of the smallest edits on this season. That's insane. Carl had one of the smallest edits on this season. That's wild. So, like, that's how I look at this. I think they went 20 for 20. I think that, you know, this is a season. You got to think about this, too. If Pat doesn't hurt his back on day one, Nick does not win this season. It's just absolutely wild. And so maybe I put it too low, but right now I just have to say, okay, I have to, you know, I have to keep it where I have to put it there for now.
I gotta find mine. They're probably long gone, which means I'm probably gonna have to re-listen to our 4-hour podcast for me, you, and Will break down our winner or our favorite seasons. But I think I have Millennials versus Gen X a little too high, which I know a lot of people would cheer about because I know we all three of us got a lot of crap for having it so high. But I think this season re-energized and kind of it made me remember how much I prefer character moments to strategy. And not that there wasn't strategy in this, but I just felt so personally attached to all these players. And I don't feel like I felt that way in Millennials versus Gen X.
But this is why me and Will had it so high. That was the first season where we felt any type of connection really to Survivor. And so and this is something too that obviously our opinions are always going to be skewed now because we've met some of the people. And when you meet these people, you're going to like them. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to like Gabby, Christian, Carl, Alec. I'm going to like them more than I'm going to like Joe Anglum and Mike Holloway and some, because I haven't met them. I don't know them. So it makes it hard when you sit down and you're like, okay, is this season actually better than Australia? I don't know, but I haven't met anybody from Australia. And the reason I'm having a hard time putting it above Gabon is because I met Jillian and Sugar this weekend. And they're,
oh my God, Jillian's amazing.
Jillian is ridiculous. I love Jillian and Sugar's amazing. Like, so it's like when you start to meet these people, you're like, God, like, you know, you sit there and you grow up and you're watching Sugar play Survivor, and then you meet them and you know, I'm looking at this from still a fan, but I look at somebody like Davey who just played, and everyone loves Davey. I mean, you know, there's some hate out there for almost everybody, but there is no hate for Davey. Everybody loves Davey. But how does somebody like Davey react when these people who he grew up watching, because he's been a fan since day one, walk up to him and say, I loved watching you on this season? Like, that's just insane. That's just such an incredible thing. And that's why Survivor, that's why like the Survivor community is just the best.
Not
the Reddit trolls, but everybody else.
Yeah, the real human Survivor community. We met a bunch of fans this weekend. Elizabeth's brother, whose name I am 98% sure is Mike.
Elizabeth's brother. That's not my fault.
Elizabeth's brother, but I'm pretty sure you told me your name is Mike. Hi, he was like literally the most enthusiastic fan I've ever met. And I was like, how can you possibly be a fan of me? Like, your freaking sister was like a gigantic, again, not huge edit, but like, large part of this season and like very loud character. And I was like, I can't believe you even like care about me / know who I am. Mm-hmm. And one of our followers, I have to give her a shout out because she's always been so nice to us and so positive. Celestina, we're like, I think we're both Facebook friends there. We met her like both nights. There were just so many really cool fans, and it's just a really cool community. And I love it. It's really fun to be a part of. This, I was telling Phil as I was leaving, I was like, I'm going to fly to LA every 6 months and go to this.
Yeah, right.
They're just so fun. And it's like Phil said, it's so heartwarming to know that they're just like super normal people, just like us.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget what the point was there. But I put this pretty high. I guess I have to put this over Millennials versus Gen X. And I think that means it's my number three. So need to shift.
You need to start like rewatching seasons now.
I think I need to rewatch all the seasons that you made me rewatch when I started this podcast. Like, I got to rewatch, like, I was going to say Thailand, but no one needs to do that. I'm going to move this early, but I need to push Millennials versus Gen X back. But I would put this above Panama. I know. That's my nostalgia pick, and Panama's my number 10. So
exactly.
It's a little obscene, but I would put this at number 9 for now, but I will.
And here's the way I look at it. If I'm putting you ahead of Australia and Token Chains and Philippines, I love you. Like, I know that you're like maybe at number 10, but man, I love you. Cause like, you know, there's like, I always say there's two bad seasons of Survivor. That's really it. Maybe three. But you know, other than that, like if I'm having you in the top 10, if I'm even considering you for top 10, I love you. So
I love you so much. Yeah, there's this was a good season, and we're really hoping, we don't want to say we're confident, but we're really hoping to be able to talk to a lot of people from this season. So even though I think February 20th is when Edge of Extinction comes on, so early February, late January is right when we're going to start kicking in there. But in the meantime, I mean, we're still going to be doing our Patreon podcasts, and then We're gonna try to get a lot of interviews, and we're so pumped to talk to this cast. So pumped to piece together the past two nights.
Yeah, I know. So God. I don't know if I'm pumped about that.
Yeah, but maybe we just talk about the season.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just have to say this before we go off. Alexa had a fun Tuesday. I have to make sure to throw that out there, because if I didn't say that, I think that half the cast would, if any of them listen, which I doubt if they did, any of them made it here. But I just have to address that, like, yes, I was MVP of Tuesday, and I might have been an ass. So I just want to say that
Tuesday, I will not speak about exactly what happened on Tuesday for our $20 patrons, because there are so few. There are probably gonna be like 5,000 people who listen to this. Our $20 patrons, there might be like 5 people listen to that. So I'm more inclined to be honest there, but I want to say like I hit a life goal, but I think people might misinterpret that. But pretty much, like, if you're ever like in an introductory class, or if you're at any job and you play the two truths and a lie game, I've got my two truths and a lie game.
Yeah, she's got that. And what's perfect now is, and we're going to say, I'll say this now, what'll be perfect about that $20 podcast when we talk about that when we talk about it, is we are finally going to tell you what this $20 podcast is going to be. So for any of our $20 patrons, we're doing Catching Up with Will. We're bringing him on.
He's coming back against popular demand.
Against popular demand. But Will is going to come on, and he can't obviously talk about everything, but he said that he will talk about like the experience, what it's like. He wants to kind of give, you know, a little insight into like what it's just like to be out there in Fiji and do all of that. So Will is going to be coming on in January for our $20 patrons, which will get you going, because then in February is when we're going to have the power rankings game for our $20 patrons, which you could win a buff at. So we'll have all of our buff stuff all done here. But for the $20 patrons, Will is coming back. And what's perfect about that is he can tell you all about what happened on Tuesday night, because he decided to take us to a bar called Tequila at 7 o'clock. And that pre-finale party did not start till 9:30. And margaritas were very, very cheap. So it's Will's fault, and I needed to say that.
It is 1,000% Will's fault. I think we clocked in like 5 margaritas over the course of 1.5 hours. So yeah, that was why we were not great. But for some reason, this cast still likes us. So
hopefully,
TBD.
I might have, you know, hey, when it turns out that the only person that we have coming on is like, at the end of the day is Carl. And that's because he's just like, Phil bought me a beer. So I said, I'd do it. Like, you know, if that's the only guy we get, hey, then, you know, we made mistakes. Hey, it was really fun. And, you know, it's, I just keep saying it. Like, I just have to give this cast credit for so much, because they really did a great job of making the fans. And at the end of the day, Alexa and I are just fans. And that's how I feel about it. At least like I'm nothing, you know, like Alexa, you're nothing. And
definitely nothing.
And they come in and they make you feel like you're a part of it. And whether they hated you or loved you, they make you feel like when you're there, they appreciate you so much being there. And this cast just did an incredible job of that. And, you know, I mean, we took a picture with John Mundo. He had no idea who we were. But we took a picture with John Mundo, and he was like, let's go. And he was doing, like, all these faces and stuff. I'm like, what's going on here?
And I put my arm around his wife's shoulder, and Phil put his arms around Johnny Mundo's shoulder. And it was like touching a rock. Like, they are just the most built human beings I've ever seen.
When that happened, I was like, you know what? Those tacos I ate before this, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. I got to go and just eat, like, you know, I want to eat protein and vegetables. That's all I want.
Yeah. And no more margaritas for the rest of anyone's lives.
Yeah. This is great. And so look, I just wanted to throw that out there. Will be on our podcast. That will be happening for our $20 patrons. He will come on, and he's not going to be able to tell you like all the ins and outs. You know, he doesn't even tell me all the ins and outs. No. I don't even know what's going on, which is a shame, because I wish he would. But he said that he will come on. Catching Up with Will. That's what he wants us to call it. Catching up with Will. It's
like Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
It is. And you know what? He is a Kardashian. He pretty much is. He's a Survivor diva. So, you know, that's what we need. But hey, you know, he can tell you all about Tuesday night and the mistakes that he made that led to the mistakes that all of us made. So, it's his fault. Next year, I make sure I go and pregame at 9 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. That's where
we had beers before we even went to dinner. Like it was
dumb.
It was a disaster. But it was a disaster. You know what? It was awesome. And for some reason they didn't hate us. Yeah. TBD on if they hate us. Hopefully. But also one point of clarification, like Phil said, Will is very aware of what he is and is not allowed to talk about. Like we'll probably, obviously you guys can tweet us any questions, but we are not going to answer anything, or Phil is not going to answer. Will, good God.
Yeah, I'll answer whatever you want. I just won't be right.
Yeah, I'll tell you whatever, but Will will only answer obviously what he's able to, but even just like the process of becoming a dream teener is really interesting. Like what it's like being there. What do you do during downtime? Like all that we'll learn about, but this won't be a one-time thing. I'm pretty confident, Phil, you tell me, he won't be coming on once a month, but we will have him on consistently.
Yeah, every now and then.
Obviously, it's a $20 per month commitment. So we want that to be worth it to you guys. He won't just come on once for an hour and then disappear. And like Phil said, we'll still have that power rankings game in season.
Which takes care of February, March, April, May. So it's like we need something for January, because we know any of you are donating 20. You're really getting nothing for it right now. Which none of you are getting anything but our Q&A. So Alexa, is our Q&A going to be later? It's going to be tomorrow morning, right?
Unless if we end this within the next 4 minutes and then we make sure that the Q&A is only an hour, then I think we could do it, but we'll either do it right now or, tomorrow morning, but the Q&A is happening pretty quickly. We posted in the Patreon Facebook page. We got a lot of really good questions. We got one question that Phil and I are like super pumped to answer, but we obviously want to keep bragging about this finale. So any like finale questions you have, like obviously send them our way.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, we'll have the fantasy game updates and all of that.
Yeah, I gotta input those.
Yeah. And that's really it. Let's put a close here. Let's put a close here to David versus Goliath. This is the end. I know it's brutal. Everybody cry. And if you're not getting teary-eyed now, then you have no soul. I mean, I'm over here, I'm crying. So this was it's one of those things where when you're sitting there at the finale, you're like, damn, that's like something I've always wanted to do. That's a dream accomplished that I never thought I would accomplish. And it's something else. It's something that you just can't put into words. So yeah, I will say when I look back on David versus Goliath, this is the one that I'll be like most emotional about when I think about it, when I talk about it, just in general, it's a lot. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. I'm going to close this one out. So like Phil said, I'm going to input our fantasy points right now. So we'll post on Facebook our winners for our bootless game and our prop bet game. We'll post those. If we know who the person is, or if we're like able to contact who the person is, we will reach out to you and we'll ask you what buff you want, the buff you can win. If not, we will ask you reach out to us, because obviously there's a lot of people and people have different YouTube names from their Twitter handles, etc. So we'll post that sometime this weekend. And then for anyone who's a $5 patron and up, we're about to do either about to in 5 minutes or in 12 hours do our Q&A podcast. Any questions you guys have at any point, send them over. If we don't get to them this month, we'll get to them next month. And then probably after Christmas, I assume we'll do our retrospective podcast. We're getting a little close and I haven't finished all my shopping yet. So we'll do our retrospective podcast for anyone who's a $10 patron and up. And in the meantime, we're gonna look to schedule some interviews. We're gonna look, figure out when's a good time to chat with Will in January. It'll probably be in January after the break. But in the meantime, hit subscribe on YouTube. We just gained another like 40 subscribers over the course of this week, considering that we did nothing on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So get us to 4,100. We're super close there. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and hit us up on Instagram. We made an Instagram, and I don't know how often we'll use it, but that's something that I use pretty often, and I know fans really like to. So we'll probably just post a lot of selfies of ourselves, and that's about it. Like us on iTunes, follow us on iTunes, whole shebang. And that's what I got. Become a patron at patreon.com/survivorspecialist. And thank you to this cast for being so freaking awesome. Thank you to these fans. We had a really good year. We had a ton of fun with you guys. And these survivors wouldn't know who we were if it weren't for you guys. So we really appreciate it.
No, I'm going to cry. All right. Well, we'll see you later.
Bye.